Welcome to Bankless Africa, where we delve deeper into the borderless world of the new frontier. This is Ms. Purple, and I will be your inquisitive guide on this ever-evolving journey. According to Chain Analysis, there are an estimated 10 to 30 million crypto users in Africa. Now, what if I told you that even though we are one of the fastest growing regions for crypto adoption, those numbers are merely scratching the surface? Now, if you haven't already, please do subscribe, whether you're listening via Spotify, Apple Podcasts, YouTube, or any other platform. Please do leave us a comment or a review so we can continue to bring you the kind of content you want to see and hear moving forward. We will include all the links that we allude to during this episode in the show notes, so be sure to check those out as well. Now, here to talk about one of the few African crypto event and hackathons, we have Mortek with us here today. How are you doing today?
Yep, good. GM, everyone, it's a pleasure to be home. Bankless, I think it's home for me, because that's where I started, like, my DAO life and my Web3 space in the DAO space. So it's a pleasure to be here, and thanks so much, Ms. Papa, for hosting us. Cheers.
Most definitely. It's always it feels different when I get to have people on the show that I've actually met before. So I do hope that this conversation also reflects, you know, the progress that we have all made. Speaking of, this is a year later, and I'm curious to know how both of you are feeling about ETH Safari and the African crypto scene as a whole, given that it's been, you know, almost a year since the last ETH Safari event.
Yeah, definitely. Lots of excitement, I'm sure. This is the second edition of ETH Safari. The first one had like its own mishaps, but at the end of the day, it went really well. As in, it was our first IRL event to host in Africa with a big magnitude like Ethereum backing us. So this is the second one. We are coming in bigger, better, and definitely a barefoot networking, just like the other one. Better than the other one, and we are full of too much excitement. And definitely from our global partners, we say just thank you, because you guys have really come in through and supported us and supported this cause, not only for Africa but the entire Web3 space in general. So yeah,
100%. Now, to get started, I would like us to start first with the hackathon/bootcathon. Now, outside of the impressive $15,000 total pool prize, what can the projects that win the hackathons or the different challenges of the hackathons expect from you and from the relevant sponsors?
Yep, sure. I think Taika was a platform. We are exploring many platforms to partner with them, especially for the virtual hackathon. Right now, as I can say, Taka helped us, because already we have like our hackathon, we call it, we combine it with an aspect of bootcamp, which is more onboarding the new beginners, or maybe I like to call them newbies or something of the sort, people who are venturing in the Web3 space. So is that focuses more on the bootcamp. Then we have now the hackathon. So Taika framework is like, we didn't want to segregate people just because you're in Kenya or maybe East Africa, near Kenya. That's where you can come and join the hackathon. So we wanted to have all the global players, people from all over Africa, West Africa, South Africa, Central Africa, and definitely even our Asian counterparts and all other continents in general. So that's why we had to look for a partnership with a platform that has our goals. So currently our online hackathon started on, I think, just yesterday. That was on 3rd of September, which we roll all the way to 17th of September. So that is focusing more on bootcamp and definitely the virtual hackathon, the virtual part of the hackathon. Then from 19th, 20th and 21st, we have like the real physical hackathon. And definitely people from Taikai, they'll come and show us, guys, they'll be like mentors and definitely come and show guys around how to maneuver in the hackathon space. So it's like we are creating something which is conclusive, or maybe to look for a better word, as in it tries and encompasses everyone from a newbie definitely to a more seasoned hacker or maybe more seasoned developer. So that's why we are here, and that's why we are trying to try to bring as more people on board as possible in this space.
Now, for those that like numbers, or maybe those who are just simply curious, I hear that there are currently at least 250 registered developers for the hackathon. Currently, there are five available challenges, and those are from Aragon, Coinbase, Kushite ICP Hub, Safari DAO, and Utu. There is also MetaMask, Ava Labs, and Scroll challenges, which will also be added at a later stage. So, if that is not enough to convince you to sign up for the hackathon, I don't know what is, but more than anything, I think being able to participate in these challenges for these various institutions or brands or companies, that's outside of that, the connections that both Mortek and GBoss touched on are more important than anything. I think all of us forget the fact that community is not just with NFT projects and all the other fancy Swift stuff. It also comes to being a community builder and a developer and a person who's just simply just trying to connect and maybe find your tribe. So this could be it. So maybe think about it. You don't have to physically be in Nairobi or in Kenya or anywhere near either one of those that region, as long as you are curious and you're into crypto and you want to build for Africans for now and for the future, I think you should definitely think about signing up for that. Now, I'm curious to hear what has been the biggest focus this year in terms of the goals that you've set for yourselves. You mentioned that, in connecting with Taikai and working with them, you wanted a group of people that resonated with your goals. So what have been your goals specifically, the few that you can, of course, share here with us today?
I think our main goal at the moment was building real use case solutions for Africa. And I think that was our main when we were looking at the hackathon, because I think at the moment I think we need real case use scenarios for definitely the African ecosystem. All these projects that come to build in Africa, maybe they try to do a white label from maybe a product from Asia or maybe a product from Europe or something of the sort. Yes, the platform can definitely help us, but when you go to the ground, I think the culture, the climate conditions, I think there are so many nitty-gritties that definitely that real use case won't maybe echo to the people on the ground. So you have to be on the ground first and build a product that fits the community that you're targeting in. So right now we are targeting these hackers to build solutions that cater for the definitely mass adoption for the African content in the blockchain space or in the crypto world. So I think that's our real goal.
Since you mentioned the concept, or rather the fact that the schedule is jam-packed, I have looked at it myself and it has been pretty insane. And I really, really like the theme about getting real. Because I do think that, sometimes we tend to kind of, dream a bit too much and do a lot less reality, introspection and thinking about where it is that we're at. So just to touch briefly on the topics that will be covered, this is also on their website, which is ethsafari.xyz or XYZ. So be sure to go check that out to be able to look through it at your own pace. But just to quickly touch on it, so the sub themes to the main theme, which is Get Real, the sub themes are real world assets, real impact and use cases, real people as an identity and communities, mainly DAOs, real tech advances. And in those, there is at least about four different topics or talks that will be happening. So that's about four times four, I believe. So that's 16 minimum talks that are currently scheduled. There could be more. There are also obviously going to be a bunch of different side events. There are going to be a bunch of, different group sessions and chats that happen between people that may be impromptu. So I think it is a perfect opportunity for people to align and find, like I said, the groups that maybe work for you or maybe have some questions answered. I know that last year there was a lot of question about DAOs and what exactly the idea on DAOs was. And speaking of DAOs, actually, last time I checked, I believe Safari DAO was in the works. What can you tell us about that? Have there been any new major developments that you're willing to share in terms of the progress of the DAO? How does it work? Is the DAO, the group that is putting together ETH Safari, or are they completely separate from each other?
Safari DAO mostly at the moment is focusing more on the events part that is bringing the global community definitely to the African ecosystem. And on top of that, we have like bootstrapping other projects like Safari Fund. We definitely have like another project which will focus more only on devs, trying to have mentors, people who come to take them on board with this, with their journey in the Web3 space. And definitely we have like, we want to have like maybe newsletters and definitely podcasts in maybe different languages in Africa, so that we can be able to onboard as many people as we can in this space. I think tech right now is like the main thing. It's an industry in itself. So the more people we onboard, I think the better place will Africa will be at the moment, yeah.
I'd like to touch a bit on some macro topics that have that I found particularly interesting. So while doing some research, I found that based on three factors, mainly having a large growing population, a vibrant tech ecosystem, and government support, Nairobi, Lagos, Cape Town, Accra, and Cairo were ranked as the top five countries that would be best suited as crypto hubs in Africa. Now, there are, however, multiple conflicting issues specifically focusing on Kenya as a whole that may hinder the possibility of Nairobi being, you know, one of these crypto hub cities. But given that you're both from Kenya, I'm curious then, do you think, say, the finance bill of 2023, for example, which has a crypto asset tax of 3%, do you think Nairobi could still be conducive for crypto users and companies if this bill is challenged and still goes through and is deemed to be fully and truly legal going forward?
Yeah, definitely. I think the best thing is like, right now we're having that conversation. I think a few years back, we didn't have the conversation with the regulators. And right now I can say at least that conversation has started to take up place. And the best thing is to reach the common ground. Let's sit on a table, let's know about what all these taxes are. And another thing I can say, it's like when you look at Nairobi, not Nairobi per se, but I look at maybe the African continent in general, when you look at the tech adoption, chime in something like M-Pesa. M-Pesa was something even folks from abroad, they have never understood the concept, because it's like you can't understand how you can do a payment via USDD. A feature phone that is not even a smartphone, and maybe send some money back home to your shags or maybe to your people in the village. So it's like the population is there. They want to experiment with new technological innovations. I think the best thing is to have this conversation with the regulators, with the government, with the CBKs, and definitely have a common ground. And I love the idea of now we have that conversation. A few years ago, we didn't have that conversation. So I think let's take the conversation. You don't know where we'll be at in the next 2-3 years. As maybe Nairobi will be the biggest blockchain hub in Africa, you never know. So the best thing, let's encourage the conversation with the regulators, with the folks from parliament, and let's understand all these issues. Let's understand what blockchain technology is all about, what crypto token is all about, what all this payment remittances via crypto, via stable coins is all about. I think that's the only way we can do, is not working in a silo as people who are trying to bring in the technology to the masses, but definitely have the conversation. And I love that aspect. Yeah, so LFG, that's all I can say.
I truly appreciate that positive mindset. I do think that sometimes, you know, we just kind of get bogged down by these things and we go, oh, here we go again. But, you know, you're right, because a few years ago, these conversations never happened. And the minute you tax something, but you also claim that the thing is not really a thing, you don't recognize it, you're contradicting yourself. So at some point, they will have to come forth and say exactly what they think of it and what they think their main issue is. I think also, you know, still on the macro aspect, the rise of PAPS, which is the Pan-African Payment and Settlement System, which is essentially a cross-border financial market infrastructure which enables payment transactions across Africa. This shows that the supposed powers that be are fully aware of the financial disparity and are looking for the solutions. The question that I then have is, you know, why they have this very particular aversion to crypto, which is a question that I'm hoping will either be answered at eSafari itself, or maybe just by, you know, various conversations that we are able to have with the regulators over time as time goes by and as we get those opportunities to be in front of them, sitting at the table, tabling what our issues may be. Now, I know there was also another big macro event, I guess macro crypto event that happened a while back, which was obviously WorldCoin. What does it say about, Kenya's people and the economy, but also potentially their openness to new tech, that over 30,000 of them were willing to sign up for WorldCoin, which gave them about 25 WorldCoin tokens, which are roughly equivalent to 7,000 Kenyan shillings. Does that mean Kenyans are so open to any new technology that they're willing to try it out? Or is it more so a mental thing to say, WorldCoin knew what they were doing by offering people money? They knew exactly what they were doing. And I don't think it's just a Kenya thing. Everywhere where they went, I'm pretty certain that most of the people signed up because of the financial aspect of it. But I'm curious to know from a Kenyan perspective what it says about the people in terms of their openness, but also about, their understanding and knowledge overall.
No issues, Jibos. At the moment, I think the WorldCoin saga and the WorldCoin issue at the moment, you have like a parliamentary ad hoc committee, and we have all these regulators, people from CBK, people who are given like the licenses for their data protection and everything. They have like a full committee which is running. I think this is the second week in a row. And I think that issue at the moment is currently being discussed way beyond our borders and everything, way beyond whatever we can chime in right now. But my passe is like, from a Kenyan perspective, I think Kenyans are hungry. They are hungry for new innovations. They are hungry for new technological advances. So Kenyans will want to try out anything new that comes in the market, because I think they don't want to be left out with these technological aspects and everything. When you come to AI and artificial intelligence, that's something which is getting the market by storm. Because definitely AI, as the way it is, definitely it will create more jobs and definitely replace other jobs at the moment. So these are all technological advances you cannot just brush aside. Because right now, if we brushed aside the dot-com era, we won't be where we are at the moment. Because that dot-com era, I remember in the year 2000 and 2000, early 2000, it was a boom for everything. And I think it revolutionized the entire ecosystem, how we interact, how we socially communicate with other folks, how we do business, how we advertise, and all many stuffs, how logistics are done. So I think all these technological advances, I think it's higher time all these regulatory bodies in Kenya or wherever in Africa, they should come up with like an open mind looking at all these technological advances, because right now you never know. Maybe they'll end up creating so many jobs with this African ecosystem where we know we lack so many jobs, we are underworked, we don't have the jobs to sustain our economy. So you never know. So yeah, let's keep the conversation going.
I do appreciate that, and all the puns received. I think, if anything, anybody who's trying to build anything should take this as a positive sign to say that Kenyans are open. There aren't enough people who are building enough things for Kenyans to adopt. But if anything, it also says to those of us who are focusing on educating the people as a whole, and not just Kenyans, but everybody who's within the space and is perhaps curious and looking for different opportunities, we need to go harder, because more than anything, people should truly and fully understand. And it's not just the users, but also the regulators, because I think that is where the disparity comes in as well, that, people don't fully understand. So whether or not it was the right thing to stop WorldCoin, that's a different conversation, but at the end of the day, it's a matter of educating people so that they're fully aware what they're getting themselves into. But also, we need more builders, which is why I think it makes sense for eSafari to be focusing so much on the hackathon, because you're trying to get, the builders to come out of, the woodworks. Maybe some of them feel a bit shy. Maybe some of them feel that there aren't enough places for them to present their work. Maybe some are just strictly, bordered around certain countries that they may be living in, and they're not able to make it to the certain live IRL hackathons, which is why it's pretty cool that you have both the physical version but also the virtual version that are both available to developers. So it's a reminder again for people to sign up for the hackathon. If you have even just an inkling of an idea, you know, I always say, even if you don't win, at the end of the day, the community you make and the fact that you took a risk on yourself and you believed in yourself enough to try something like that out, I think that's a big win. And speaking of, you know, signing up and all of that, I know this is going to be a crazy question, but are there any tickets still left? I know it's pretty last minute, but maybe there are some people who have decided that, you know what, I have to be there. And, you know, perhaps are wondering if there's still any tickets available for them to purchase for ETH Safari itself.
Nice. Yeah, I can say like we just ended like the version of Alibaba tickets, which were subscribed massively, especially by the local folks and the international folks. So anyone who bought like an Alibaba ticket, we just want to appreciate your effort, your kindness, and definitely say thank you. And we'll try our best to make like an awesome event for you guys not to come and enjoy, definitely. We have like the second version of our tickets, which just went online, I propose, on Sunday evening. And I think they will stay on for the next 1.5 weeks before we get to the late bird tickets. So definitely, if you have not gotten yourself a ticket, kindly, this is the time for you. Just go to eatsafari.xyz, click on the buy tickets version. We have a platform called Hustle Sasa, where you can be able to get your ticket via M-Pesa or via any credit card in Kenya. And definitely, if you're international folks, we have versions where you can buy tickets via crypto, that is via Unlock protocol, which is on the Ethereum mainnet and Polygon. So definitely you'll be able to have your tickets via crypto. Jibos.
All right, and that brings us to the end of today's episode. I am obviously very excited. Just a quick disclaimer before I get into the final closing question. I will be at eSafari, so I guess this is perhaps the reason why I am so adamant that you should try your utmost to be there. I'm not able to go to a lot of IRL events, so this is one of the few that I have personally committed myself to attending for as long as it's around. So if you're around, you know, maybe you'll see Miss Purple, maybe you'll get a power-up for finding me somewhere within the crowd. But I will also be speaking, so maybe you can be able to catch me on one of the panels on there. But we like to close off the conversations here on the podcast with asking you to give us three words on what you're looking forward to the most, in particular here for eSafari. So what are the three things, or maybe three words, that can describe how you're feeling about ETH Safari this year?
Definitely, excited is an understatement. So I'll go with safari. Safari in Swahili is journey in English. So I think my parting shot will be, as an African continent, let's focus more on the journey rather than the destination, and definitely we'll get there.
Boom. Drops mic. I feel like that is the perfect note for us to end this conversation on. Once again, just a reminder that none of what we have shared here is financial advice. Please do your own research, especially because the space tends to shift so rapidly and so quickly. We will, of course, like I mentioned, include all the links that we have alluded to in the show notes. If you are still looking to attend ETH Safari, be sure to catch those late bird tickets if you're not able to get any of the early bird tickets. And once again, a reminder that nothing is set in stone. There is a world out there yet to be discovered. And this time, Africa is at the core of the table. So on behalf of myself and the ETH Safari team, Karibu Safari.